I'm John, he's Patrick. Together we're the functional nerds. I'm John, he's Patrick. Together we're the functional nerds. Together we're the functional nerds.
My name is Patrick Hester. His name is John Anilio, and you're listening to the Functional Nerds Podcast.
That is Patrick. He's a podcaster. He's also got a book out through Wordfire Press called Into the Fire. You can go pick it up now. It's the Sam Cain Volume 1. It's a good book. Go buy it. I'm John Anilio, and today we are joined by Marco Palmieri. He's the senior editor at Tor, and by Jen Gunnell. She's another editor at Tor. She's also a theater critic, and they are here today to talk to us about Tor Labs, one at a time. Jen, thank you for coming on today.
Hey, it's great to be here, guys. Thanks. Looking forward to into a wonderful verbal free-for-all with everyone, especially Marco. We have a reputation to continue.
Yes. Uh-oh. Oh, okay. Well, good. We'll just like sit back and let it go. Marco, thank you for coming on as well.
Thank you, guys. I really appreciate it.
We don't often, or not lately, we don't have two guests, and I realize like, oh, I have to make sure, because sometimes I just ask questions, and then it's like, you really have to put them specifically at one person or the other, otherwise everyone sort of waits around for the other person to answer, so
yeah,
I have
this is what I did at SF Signal for years, John.
Yes, yes, so you may need to help me out with this, Patrick, because I'm not used to having two people on, but we're going to get into, you know, because I really want to save, a lot of times we will plug the main project that you're here to talk about first thing on the show, but because I think that's gonna take on the whole show, what you guys are doing, and I think because it's really something that's going to be of interest to our listeners, because you have it's such an audio thing. I actually want to get right into our first section of the show, and then we'll talk all about Tor Labs and what you guys are going to be doing with that in a moment. Before we get on to the next section, I do want to mention to people, if you enjoy our show, please consider becoming one of our backers. We'd like to thank the people who are already backing us over at patreon.com/functionalnerds. It really helps out. It helps us put money into the show, make the show better every week. If you listen to the show and you're not already a backer, consider becoming one of our backers over at patreon.com/functionalnerds. And now let's get on to our picks of the week.
Picks of the week.
And I think I know what Marco is going to pick. So Marco, what is your pick this week?
Wonder Woman. Of course. Saw it last night with my boys. It was a lot of fun. Great, great movie. Really enjoyed it. Highly recommended.
So, yeah, I'd already given Marco the directive to not spoil it because I have not seen it yet. But it's been universally praised so far. So would you say that that holds up, Marco, that all the positive reviews are accurate?
I would, yeah. I would say it lives up to the hype.
Awesome. Did they play that really cool music that I love? The dun, 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 dun. Yeah, that.
Even from Batman versus Superman?
Yeah, we don't say that here.
Oh, sorry. Yes, they do. A couple
good.
Of times.
Good. Because that was the best part of that shitty movie. That
all right, so we'll keep it spoiler free. So, but just that's one vote for Wonder Woman so far. So that's great. I'm going to try to go see that soon. Jennifer, what is your pick this week?
I got to say Wonder Woman too. A group of women from the office, editors and marketing people. We all went to go and see Wonder Woman last night together as a group, and it was absolutely phenomenal.
That's awesome.
That's two votes for Wonder Woman.
I have such high hopes for this. I was explaining to Marco, my mom, who has Alzheimer's, really wants to see it. So I'm waiting until the crowds die down a little bit to take her because she has issues with crowds. And it's killing me. It's killing me because I want to go see it.
It'll be worth the wait.
It will be. It absolutely delivers everything.
That's awesome. Cool. All right, Patrick, what's your pick this week?
Well, I'm gonna jump on the bandwagon just a little bit, because yesterday, which was the day as we're recording this, was the day of the first day of the movie. When I got to work and I logged into my computer and I opened up a browser because I do most of my work online, the first page that comes up is a Google page, and at the bottom of the Google page it said all the future Wonder Women make coding your superpower.
I did see that, yeah.
And when you clicked it, it was all about how women can be coders and can, you know, write code to build websites and build software and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, it's essentially about getting more women into the, it's not really science, but into tech jobs and doing more tech stuff. And I just loved it. And I thought that was awesome. So that little thing on the bottom of Google was my pick this week.
Awesome. Fantastic. And speaking of Wonder Woman, I just realized she no longer works for Tor, but I saw Artie Allspach, who was a publicist at Tor for a while there. She had a nice picture on Facebook today at, I guess it was, what's the con that's going on in New York right now, Marco?
BEA, the Book Expo of America.
Yeah, Book Expo.
And right. BookCon.
Yes, yes. So they're both going on right now. And Artie had a picture in a Wonder Woman inspired outfit with, I think his name is Travis Longley. He's a psychologist and he has all these books about different, you know, genre stuff with psychology. And so a bunch of articles in. And there is the Wonder Woman book of psychology that's out now. That so she was theme appropriately dressed. And I enjoyed that very much. And Artie's a great person and a good friend of the show, too.
So before you do your thing, I just have to throw it out there. Still to this day, and I'm hoping that the Wonder Woman movie replaces this, but my favorite Wonder Woman on screen ever is in the animated Frontiers DC movie where Wonder Woman is actually taller than Superman.
Oh, New Frontier?
Yes. I loved that where he's like, he goes in and he's like, what are you doing, Diana? And she's like, what do you think I'm doing, Cal? And she stands up and she's taller than him.
It's a good moment.
Oh, it was awesome.
Cool. My pick real quick is I'm a huge fan. This isn't a genre thing at all of Chuck Klosterman, who's a nonfiction writer. Big fan. I've read all of his nonfiction books. He's got a new one out now called Chuck Klosterman X, A Highly Specific, Defiantly Incomplete History of the Early 21st Century. It's essentially his magazine articles collected from the past decade for GQ and all the various publications that he writes for. He's a big music writer, too. He writes a lot of sports stuff, and it's all these sort of weird links between sports and music and all this kind of different things. And I'm just a big fan of his writing. It's really great. I don't know. It's like just essays and just, you know, I think I'm the exact same age as he is. So just coming from, you know, being in love with genre stuff and being in love with music and his sports, it's just like he makes all these wonderful connections. I'm just a big fan. And that book just came out in the past week or two. So if you like that kind of thing, I highly recommend it. Chuck Klosterman, A Highly Specific, Defiantly Incomplete History of the Early 21st Century. Now, let's get on to what we're here to talk about, and that is Tor Labs. I really wanted to get Marco and Jenna on the show because, being a podcast, that's what we do. We do audio, and you guys are doing something really, or about to do it. I guess it's not out yet, but you tell us what Tor Labs is and what people can expect.
Who do you want to answer that question first, John?
Oh, I'm sorry. Why don't we start with Jen? Because you know what? Let me start with that. So I did a little research, and the story of how this came together is from you being a theater critic. So maybe you can tell us how you being a theater critic led into the creation of Tor Labs.
I know from that background a bunch of incredibly cool people doing genre theater in New York. And Marco's incredibly cool, and we've been friends for years. And I just thought, gosh, wouldn't it be great if we all got together for some drinks? And in the great tradition of, gosh, this seems like a good idea, you know, we're having a few cocktails. Guys, thinking this would be really kind of fun if we could do this somehow with Tor, because we're fans of Tor. And Marco and I are sitting there thinking, yeah, this would be really, really awesome. And a few days later, I'm sitting in Marco's office and Marco looks at me and thinking, why can't we do this? And well, there aren't any rules that say we can't. And it sort of took off from there.
So Marco, give us your side of that story and how things got, the ball got rolling with that.
Well, it was very much like Jen describes in that, you know, it started out as just a blue sky idea. And the more we thought about it, the more we discussed it, the less improbable it sounded. So we started making inquiries back at Tor and at Macmillan. Since we already had kind of an audio infrastructure, Macmillan does audiobooks, it does podcasts, although until Tor Labs got started, it was not doing dramatic podcasts. But there were people who knew the business. So Jen and I started talking to some of those people to feel them out about this idea. And every person we approached about it got really, really excited and told us that this is a great time for this. This is fantastic. What do you need from me to make it happen? So those conversations kept going. And before you knew it, we actually had a plan in place to launch a brand new audio drama imprint under the name Tor Labs.
Now, I think about this with podcasting a lot. You know, you had mentioned how Macmillan has, you know, more kind of, let's call it talk show type, like the one we're doing right now. Like, that's kind of how podcasts got started. And podcasts have been around for quite a while.
We've been doing this one for like 300 years.
Yes, it's true. It's a long time. My wife will always ask me, you know, the day that we're going to record, she's like, oh, who are you having on the show today? And I mentioned that we were having you guys on the show. And I'm like, yeah, you know, with podcasts, it's weird because I was someone who was not only an early-ish days podcaster, but I was really right at the beginning of listening to them. And early on, they were all tech podcasts because that's the people that had the tech, but it was all tech talk shows and things like that. But I think in terms of podcasting, really getting into the mainstream awareness was with these more audio dramas, not talk shows necessarily, but something, I guess the big one is Serial. That's the one that people think about. And when I talk to people who actually listen to podcasts, I think that's where they get there is the big, you know, higher production value, more kind of fiction storytelling. So is that where you think some of the inspiration for Tor Labs coming from, those types of podcasts and those types of audio dramas, Marco?
That's part of it, certainly. I think we owe a lot also to the grand tradition of radio drama.
Welcome to Night Vale.
That sort of thing too, absolutely. But, you know, this is a format that actually goes back many decades, you know, before television became the dominant form of consuming media entertainment in the United States. You know, everybody listened to audio dramas. The UK still has never fallen out of love with the audio drama, and it's still thriving there. It's just that the delivery system has changed. Instead of radio, you've now got podcast downloading, live streaming. You know, it's this new technology that we have now. It's no longer new, but we're now finding that that the audio drama as a way to consume stories is undergoing a resurgence here in the United States, largely due to the podcast format.
Now, Jen, what do you think is the difference between a fictional podcast, a dramatic podcast, and an audiobook? There are similarities, but what do you think are some of the differences between them?
I think it's the way you get the narrative across. When you're talking about an audiobook, you are reading out loud a piece of literature, and you have all these lovely narrative passages that describe everything, in addition to inner dialogues that the characters have with themselves, dialogue with one another. Whereas when you get into an audio drama, it's basically a play. There's a little bit more information because now we're not looking at the set on the stage or how the actors are moving. So we have to add in maybe some things like sound, maybe a little bit of description in the dialogue that a character is giving about where they find themselves. And in that regard, it's a little bit more like Shakespeare in terms of how it gets across where they are and what's going on. But essentially, it's a play. You have two or more characters in conversation with one another telling you the story as it unfolds for them. You just don't get that in an audiobook. It's someone's reading a book to you.
Marco, what can you add to that?
Well, in an audiobook, you have, of course, a single narrative voice reading you the text of a novel or short stories or what have you. With an audio drama, you've got, you know, full cast performance. I mean, and it doesn't have to be full cast, of course, but that's, you know, our first audio drama, Steal the Stars, happens to be full cast. And the experience of listening to it is, you know, something completely different from having something read to you. You are immersed in, you know, a world in a way that I don't think an audio book is capable of doing, simply because it's unfolding before your ears, if I can use that as a term.
Now, with Steal the Stars, as you mentioned, that's going to be the first production that you're putting out. So from the get-go, this is not a novel that you're then transferring over into an audio drama. Creatively speaking, this started knowing from the beginning that it was going to be an audio drama. Is that correct?
Yeah.
So, you know, how does one go about doing that then? Now you guys are putting this together. So Jen, who do you contact for, you know, cause you were talking about how like so many great creative ideas, it starts over drinks. And I think a lot of creative people like to get together over drinks, and lots of ideas come out that don't ever get made. They're just, you know, they're fun things to talk about. So what's the first, nose to the grindstone, like how are we going to get this going? Like what's the first steps that are taken in this process, Jen?
You need a playwright. You need a damn good playwright, actually. And that has experience with audio drama. And we got that 120% in Mac Rogers, who has gotten a great reputation for doing podcasts for GE Theater. His first two being The Message, and then again, Life After, which I think, Marco, didn't that come out in October, November of this past year?
Yeah, it came out in late 2016.
Yeah, so you get someone like Mac Rogers who can put together a really great script and is himself a fan of and steeped in science fiction, fantasy, and horror genre. And you be from there and you find a producer, artistic director, and we get that in Gideon Media. Sean Williams and Mac have worked together for a very long period of time. And they have a lot of experience putting together recordings, doing things like podcasts and like musical recordings. And you get a bunch of talented actors, and God knows, New York, you can take your pick. You got some really great, talented people here. And you start from there. And sometimes you kind of make things up as you go along. But that's where really fun, wonderful, creative synergy happens. And I think one of the things Marco and I both agree on is none of us could do this without everyone collectively involved. And that it represents this really great opportunity to do something that is, I think the best word I can come up with is interdisciplinary. We're marrying publishing and literature and playwriting and production and acting and a bunch of different disciplines all working together to try and make some new things that takes advantage of a technological platform that people find popular and convenient.
Now, there's one thing I'm slightly confused about because I don't think you've specifically said. Are you adapting existing tour purchase stories, or are you doing all original stuff?
No, this is all original stuff. Oh. We are not adapting pre-existing novels. We are not. No, this is coming in as an original script.
Nice.
We're not doing anything with pre-existing books.
Mark, let me ask this in terms of the editing process. So you're saying, as Jen said, playwright. And that makes perfect sense. It's like, well, yeah, if you're going to have a cast, like you need a playwright, you know, it's a different form of writing than a novelist. And then you're saying how you get the different voice acting. So in terms of the editing and the shaping of the story, you know, was it left mostly to the playwright, or was there, you know, more kind of traditional editing going along? Did you even go as far as have actors in a room doing like a table read and then editing from there? Like what was sort of the creative process from the editorial point of view, Marco?
For the most part, we left the experts to their own devices to know what they're doing. We did get an opportunity to read through all the scripts, but the serial is 14 episodes long and each episode is about 30 minutes. So on average, we're talking about 30 pages per episode of audio script. Jen and I had an opportunity to vet those scripts and to offer commentary as needed. That's really Jen's strength as an editor in this particular context, because she's worked in theater before. She knows how to dramaturg a production like this and can offer really insightful commentary to the playwright and to the directors. For myself, I also had an opportunity to do the same thing, although I deferred to Jen in a lot of the commentary that we gave Gideon Media. Where I'm taking point is on the novelization of the podcast, which is something else that we're doing. In addition to doing dramatic podcasts, we're also doing two ancillary products. One is going to be an audiobook, basically bundled a bundle of all 14 episodes, stripped of the advertising and offered as an audiobook. The other is a novel, which is adapted from the audio scripts. It's not a transcript, but a full-on novelization. And in that, I'm doing a lot of the first-pass editing.
So who's doing the adaptations? Because that reminds me of like Vonda McIntyre adapting the Star Trek scripts into novelizations.
It's not unlike that. In fact, that's the kind of thing I used to do when I worked at Simon & Schuster, as a matter of fact. In this case, really interestingly, one of the guys at Gideon Media, a writer, actor, and musician named Nat Cassidy, was interested in doing the novelization. So we gave him an opportunity to audition for that, and he did a bang-up job and has just turned in the first draft of the novel and in the middle of editing it right now. Yeah, it's great.
So when this appears, because now that brings up a couple of different questions. So you were saying that eventually it's going to be released as a novelization. It's going to be released as an audiobook. So when it first appears, and it's going to appear weekly, I assume, is that going to be the schedule of it?
That's correct.
So is it going to be where people will, and now is it going to be ad supported, or is it going to be something where people pay a fee each week? What's going to be the way that people can consume this in the beginning?
The initial run of 14 episodes is going to start August 2nd. We're going to run those once a week, and those will all be ad supported. At the end of that full run, after the last episode aired, we're going to bundle all of those together, strip the ads out, just as Marco said, maybe put some extra bonus content in there, and that's going to go out as audiobook. So you'll be able to purchase and binge on the entire podcast. At the same time that that comes out, at the end of the original episode run, the novelization will also be available in trade paperback and e.
So when it comes out as a audiobook, Jen, will it also be available in lots of, like, will Audible have it? Like, how is that going to be?
We will be offering that through the usual purveyors of fine literary entertainment.
I was going to say, John, I can't tell you how many times I've listened to a book on Audible and it either starts or ends with, this is a Macmillan audio production, blah, 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 such and such.
No, but I think that's, okay. Yeah. Patrick is a great Audible guy voice. Yeah.
This is Audible.
Fantastic. This reminds me in some ways of how the world we're in far of television goes, where nowadays much of the initial run of certain dramatic TV shows is still network with ads. And then it eventually will go to Netflix or Amazon or Hulu or whatever without the ads. Except so it's sort of like, you could pay for it without the ads. That's what I do with the Hulu. You pay an extra $4 a month and you get no ads. That's what I do. I think it's an interesting way to do it, because by putting it out there ad supported, you open yourself up to as many people as possible to try it out and hopefully build some buzz around it. And then for the people, who are more someone like me who has an Audible subscription that likes, doing it that way, I'll hear about it. And obviously I know about it because you guys are telling me about it now. But let's say if we weren't on the show, if I heard it was good, I'd be like, hey, that sounds good. Let me get that. So was that sort of the strategy from the beginning? Like, did you know that this was the plan going ahead?
Yeah, actually, we set it up that way deliberately, not just for the reasons you stated, but also in order, honestly, to create additional revenue streams. We wanted to offer people multiple options in terms of the way they experienced the story that we were presenting.
Now, here's another question, Jen, because you come from a theater background, what's the chance of sort of a live reading, like in front of an audience? Is there any chance of something like that happening, especially being in New York? I feel like the opportunities could be there for something like that.
Well, of course, we reserve something like that. It would be stupid not to, because it's a great promotional opportunity. We are hopefully going to be able to do things like that. Do we have any definite plans right now? No, we're exploring some options that will allow us to do that both before the show opens and possibly during the run. It just kind of depends, but we're in the process of developing that right now.
That's great. Now, Marco, going back to the actual production of it, is there going to be music? Is there going to be sound effects? What's the aesthetic on that?
All of the above. The guys at Gideon Media who are working on Steal the Stars are full bells and whistles as far as this production is concerned. We listen to what we are calling the garage demo that created for us in order to help us pitch it internally. It's basically a first episode that they performed and recorded in their living room and with no studio facilities, just bare minimum stuff. And it's unbelievably professional in its, unbelievable is probably the wrong word because these guys are pros, but they did such a great job with it that it was hard to imagine how it was going to be improved upon. Yeah. But we have every faith that, you know, now that they're in full production with controlled facilities and all the equipment that goes into a professional production, that they are going to absolutely do a bang up job.
A lot of the audiobooks that I've listened to recently have been the new canon Star Wars books, and they're not full cast recordings, but the voice actors that they get are really magnificent and can do a wonderful job with all the different voices, but they do add the sound effects and the music as well. And I have to say, even, you know, something simple like a Star Wars book and something as simple as while a scene is going on and they're on a Star Destroyer or what have you, and they just have like the Starship engine hum in the background, that really adds something to it. It really does make a difference. What are your feelings about that, Jen, like in terms of the sound effects and things?
I am all for giving people immersive experiences, especially when they're taking in storytelling. I think the more that you can involve the audience, whether they are reading or spectators at a performance, the more you can involve them in the actual story, the more they can feel like they're there. And I think that they are more likely to really involve themselves wholly in it and come away from the narrative with a lot more than they would have otherwise.
I will mention that is the one problem that as I've mentioned many times on the show, when I listen to audiobooks, I'm at the point where I listen to them at 2x speed, which most people think I'm insane for doing that, but that's what I'm really comfortable with that, except for with the things with music and sound effects, because to hear you can adjust to somebody speaking 2x faster, but when you hear like the Star Wars music twice as fast, it does throw you out of it a little.
I'll say this though, John, the local grocery store where I go to, they often play music, and someone there is just my kind of person, because they will play like the Star Wars disco album from the 70s. Nice. I don't know if you ever heard that, you know, but it's like the Star Wars theme is a disco song. And you'll be walking through and all of a sudden you're hearing you know, stuff like that. So, but I agree. I personally like to have sound effects and stuff, even if it's just a podcast and we just have, you know, random sound effects just happening to show up in the middle of the show. I think that's great.
Absolutely. So I love this whole idea of what you have going on at Tor Labs, because I think the audience is there. We were just talking about this on our last episode, because audiobooks come up all the time, because as Marco, as you said, I think we're at a point where there's a resurgence in this idea of listening to audio. And what I had mentioned on the last episode was that I think because it's not 20 CDs or 20 cassettes, or the fact that it can be an audio file on your phone and it's reasonably priced too, because that's the other thing. Audiobooks used to be and they could still be expensive if you're just buying them on their own. If you have an Audible subscription or a subscription to any of the services, or if you buy the ebook first, then it's much more reasonably priced. So I think between price and just convenience, people are rediscovering this, and I think it's a great time to be in it, and I applaud you for putting it together. Before we have to go, is there anything else you want to tell our audience about this? Because I think this is a wonderful thing. Well, first of all, Jen, when will we see this coming out? Like, when can we expect this to hit the airwaves?
August 2nd of this year.
Excellent. August, and then that's when
August 2nd, and then the ride begins. Or I should say the experiment begins.
Yes. And it's going to be weekly, and it's going to be, did you say 16 parts? Is that what the initial
14.
14
it's
parts. Okay.
It's 14 so it's episodes. Yes.
Fantastic. And I don't know if you can speak to it now, Marco, but are there other things in the pipeline, or is it going to be how this goes first and then we'll see?
No, we are definitely in talks with various parties about doing more stuff like Steal the Stars and other ideas that are percolating. We'll definitely be talking more about that as those plans solidify. Unfortunately, nothing we can report on just yet. One thing I will say that's worth mentioning is that it's entirely possible that by the time this podcast airs, this episode of Functional Nerds, that we will have audio samples from Steal the Stars to tease people with off of the Macmillan website and other venues. So be on the lookout for that.
Fantastic. And before we get going, I do want to mention also, if you want to get news about this and other things, I would say you can follow Marco and you can follow Jen on Twitter. Marco's Twitter handle is at MXPalmieri, PALMIERI. And you can follow Jen on Twitter at Jen Gunnels, GUNNELS. Anything else you want to, well, first of all, Jen, anything else you want to mention to our listeners before we get going, whether it's something with Tor Labs or some other project that you have that you want to let people know about?
I think one of the things to know about Tor Labs is we'll be looking at lots of different genres. So say if you're not necessarily a science fiction person, we are going to try and find material that will also possibly be a for people or fantasy or dark fantasy. So we want to try and make sure that our laboratory experiments will find an audience, not just necessarily science fiction aficionados.
Excellent. Margo, anything else you want to let our listeners know before we get rolling here?
Jeez, Jen said it so well. I'm not sure what I could add to that, but I'll just say that, yeah, Tor Labs starting with podcasts, but it won't necessarily be exclusively podcasts. So, you know, as opportunities come along, you may see other forms of delivering science fiction and fantasy and horror storytelling that we will take advantage of.
Excellent. It's awesome. Well, that's great. I'm certainly looking forward to it. Frost, one more time, if you dig the show, consider becoming one of our backers over at patreon.com/functionalnerds. All right, everybody, have a great week, and we will see you next time.
Thanks, guys.
Gunsmoke. I'd like to say thank you on behalf of the group and ourselves, and I hope we pass the audition.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.
Would you like a chili, baby?
I'm the one in the middle.